From Acts chapter 8, beginning at verse 26. Philip and the Ethiopian. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot, reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, "Go to that chariot and stay near it." Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. "Do you understand what you are reading?" Philip asked. "How can I," he said, "unless someone explains it to me?" So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. The eunuch was reading this passage of scripture. "He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before the shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants, for his life was taken from the earth?" The eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else?" Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they travelled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. Why shouldn't I be baptized?" And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared at Azotus and travelled about, preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea. Whakaronga ki te kupu a te wairua ki te hahi. And te rangapai tapu ki te witenga a John, te tiko marenga upoku, ka timata tahi. The Holy Gospel of John, according to John, chapter 15, beginning at verse 1. The vine and the branches. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the words I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Te rangapai tēnei a te karaiti. This is the Gospel of Christ.
Everyone. Hands breath. My name's Bruce, and it's a pleasure to be speaking to you this morning. as we look at these two readings of the grapevine and Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. Have you ever seen a deep sea diving helmet? Let me describe it to you. Made of copper or brass, antique and oversized, with their little round windows. These helmets revolutionized underwater sea exploration when they were invented in the 1800s. In addition to those helmets, watertight canvas diving suits filled with air worked to combat the ocean's pressure, and lead boots, known as heavy footers, allowed the diver to walk on the ocean floor. For reaching the deepest of the deep, humans would need to be encased in the strongest of steel. The earliest deep diving suits, developed in the late 19th century, looked like space alien armour. And because of their steel design, could weigh as much as 400 kilograms. You had to hope you wouldn't fall over because it was going to be difficult getting back up. Any deep sea diver knew about having a vital connection. An air hose and a strong chain or rope so he could be pulled back up. Unless he remained connected to the crew above, his life was in danger and he could do nothing. So to today's reading about the grapevine. It's a beautiful picture of the importance of remaining connected to Jesus. When we are in vital connection with him, we can be very fruitful. Now, from the reading about the grapevine that we just had, what do you think are the most repeated words? Say again. The vine. The vine is mentioned three times. Well done, Val. Remain is right up there. Say again. Abide if you're in the King James old money. Abide or remain. To adhere to live with. And fruit, yes, that's the two top repetitive words are fruit and remain. You listen and count and see if you can come up with the same number as me. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me. You're going to need two hands here. As I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown in the fire, and burned. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourself to be my disciples. So, did you get all confused, or did you come up with a number? I got seven for fruit and for remain. Eight, yeah, seven and eight. Well done. We're on the same page. I missed that. In our passage, Jesus repeats the word fruit or fruitfulness seven times. And remain or abide eight times. It's a beautiful picture of a vine that's designed to be fruitful from branches that must remain connected to the vine. The branches can't just be attached on a Sunday and then detach themselves. They remain on the vine, and that's what's required of us, to remain vitally connected to Jesus. How do we cultivate a vital connection with Jesus? Well, It's all about relationship building. Prayer and Bible reading. We need to listen. We need to obey. And being involved with church and enjoying opportunities for service is key. Being vitally connected with Jesus is about relationship. It's not a formula. It's not just a Sunday thing either. It's remaining in Him every day. Sometimes we can find our prayer life or Bible reading has become a bit stale. So we can try changing things up. Variety is the spice of life. If that's the case, we can try praying in different ways. A pattern of prayer, like the Lord's Prayer, is very helpful. I find it really good to pray it in my own words to keep it fresh. Lists are a good way to cover all the important loved ones and ministries that are on your heart. But conversational prayer is also great, and it's natural and refreshing, and it helps build that relationship. Changing where you pray can help. I usually pray in the lounge first thing in the morning, but sometimes I just want to go for a walk. So I put on my jacket and my headlamp and pray and reflect as I walk around local streets and bushwalks, often in the dark, and I try to listen. I often pray and think in the shower and in the work van at the start and the end of the day, and I try to listen. Bible reading can get stale. Debbie and I typically use a devotional booklet and switch between In Touch and Word for Today. But sometimes I get tired of both of them and just want to work my way through a single Bible book for a season. It's also a good tip to hang on to your church notices, because on the middle of the back page, it's got the verses for next Sunday. And if you work on them during the week, you'll be a step ahead of everyone else. Then there's that bit about pruning. We are designed to live fruitful lives, and the image of grapes on a grapevine is very appealing to us. But the image of pruning is not. It's uncomfortable. It looks like it'll hurt. We all have habits and attitudes and thoughts and fears and sins that need cutting off. And the Father is the expert vine dresser who knows exactly what is required and how to do it. This is the way to get the best fruit, by pruning the branches right back. Jesus says of the Father, "He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it'll be even more fruitful." So, we are designed for fruitfulness like grapes on a vine. The key for us is to remain connected with Jesus. In our reading about Philip and the Ethiopian, we see an example of an extremely fruitful young man who is bringing glory to God. He must have been well pruned, and he must have had a vital connection with the Spirit of Jesus. The background to the story, well, it's the incredible growth of the new church that emerges after the resurrection. So as you'll know, in Acts chapter 2, day of Pentecost, Holy Spirit comes and Peter the denier is transformed into Peter the passionate preacher, and 3,000 are added to the believers. In chapter 4, that number increases to 5,000. And in chapter 6, the church is still growing. It says the number of disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem. They had a mega church overnight. But Christ's mandate was not to grow a mega church in Jerusalem. It was to spread out. Jerusalem, the city, Judea, the region, Samaria, the region next door, and to the ends of the earth. What a mission. Anyway, this rapid church growth creates a number of growth problems, so the apostles appoint seven men to be responsible for pastoral care and administration. They need they're people who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom, and Philip is one of those. Then persecution breaks out. It gets really uncomfortable. There are stonings, there are beatings, there are arrests. What's going on, Lord? Why aren't our prayers against this persecution being answered? But Philip is apparently not disillusioned or discouraged. He finds himself in Samaria, and he preaches the gospel there. He prays for people, and miracles happen, and a revival breaks out. Then, just as things are going really well, and another huge church is developing, God calls him for a specific one-on-one mission on the desert road. So, picking up in the reading, now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. So, he started out, and on his way, he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of the treasury of the Kandaki, which means Queen of the Ethiopians, or Queen Candace. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah, the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, go to that chariot and stay near it. Philip ran up to the chariot. Philip has got a vital connection with the Spirit of Christ. He listens to the Spirit. He obeys. He even runs when he knows God's direction. Philip's also obviously a man of grace and broad-mindedness. His first ministry was to the Samaritans, you know, those guys, the spiritual half-castes that the Jews sort of weren't too sure about. And now it's to an Ethiopian eunuch, a very different man, very black, physically marred, spiritually unclean, not allowed in the temple. But the Ethiopian is a God-fearer. And despite being kept at arm's length by good Jews, he's purchased a handwritten pocket scroll of Isaiah, which would not have been cheap, and made a lengthy journey, probably of some months, to travel on a pilgrimage to Jerusalem. And lo and behold, the Ethiopian is reading Suffering Servant 101, Isaiah chapter 53. Philip knows all about how to use this 700-year-old scripture because he's undoubtedly been in one of those post-resurrection Bible studies that Jesus led and that we talked about 2 weeks ago. Philip is listening to the Spirit's guidance. He's quick to obey, and he knows how to explain the scriptures. Before you know it, there's a baptism, and the gospel is starting on its journey toward the ends of the earth, as the Ethiopian treasurer heads on his way, rejoicing. And as for Philip, well, God's Spirit has another job for him. He's available and listening, and God's Spirit whisks him away on his next adventure. So in summarizing, the grapevine allegory is a beautiful picture of the importance of remaining in vital connection with Christ. He's the vine and the source of life. We are the branches designed for fruitfulness. Philip's life was clearly very fruitful, and I believe this is because he had a vital connection with the Spirit of Jesus. He listened, he knew his Bible, he was available, he was involved in service. Do you have a vital connection with Jesus? Because that's part of the normal Christian life. Are you enjoying the Bible and daily prayer? You can, and that's how we remain connected. Do you ever pause and listen for his voice and direction? He's wanting us to. Today, after the service, as always, prayer is available, and especially for anyone who needs a boost in deepening that vital connection with the Lord. Lord. If you need encouragement to remain connected with Jesus, do come up. We will look forward to praying with you.